Esther is a wonderful little book. Esther was a wonderful lady whom God used way back in the Old Testament times. The name Esther means fragrance, something which flows from her. It showed something of what the Lord meant to her. And each one of us as believers this evening should have that fragrance. That's something about us that is different from the worldling. As those around us watch us, they should see in our lives, in our behavior, in our talk, in our conversation, things we say, the places we go, is different. Just turn with me to Ephesians. Very familiar chapter, but there's a few verses in it that some people sometimes don't quote. We're all familiar with Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the verse 10 says these words, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How does the world view us if they can't see our good works and see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? We don't get to heaven by good works, but because of the grace of God in our lives, we display and we show forth good works. And so that's what Esther means. Esther was an orphan girl. I'm just going to run very quickly just to give you a little background to the book of Esther. She was an orphan girl looked after by her cousin Mordecai. Mordecai worked in the palace of King Ahasuerus. Haman was a very high official in the king's palace, and he despised the Jews. He hated the Jews, and we'll see that in a moment or two. He devised a plan where he was going to destroy the Jews in the land. And so this got to the ears of Mordecai, and Mordecai, he spoke to Esther. At that time she was queen. And he said to Esther, you must go into the king, and you must plead before King Ahasuerus for your people. And God changed, and God turned the whole tables around and saved the Jewish people from death and from destruction. In verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. We're going to think about just the light and the gladness and joy this evening. And it'll give you a little flavor maybe and a little thought of getting into the book of Esther sometime yourselves. It says the Jews had light in the verse 16 of chapter 8. There's an awful lot has gone on before this chapter 8. Here were a people who just a short time before were in awful danger of being destroyed. Surely it was a dark time in their lives. Haman had got the king to sign a decree that all the Jews should be destroyed. If you turn to Esther 3 and verse 13, you'll see those words. Esther 3 and verse 13, and the letters were sent by posts to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all the Jews. And so here was the letter went out right across the land that the Jews would be destroyed. So throughout the whole land, it was a dark, dark day for the Jews. Haman intended, if he got his way, to wipe out the Jewish people. Although God is not mentioned in this little book of Esther, we can see the hand of God and the sovereignty of God through every chapter. God uses Esther to go before the king and to plead for the Jews. Chapter 8 and the verse 3, if you look at that particular little verse, and Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman. And so we have here Esther in before the king. I've been very brief and quick here just because time is short. And so we have Esther in before the king, pleading that he would change the decree that was against the children of Israel. She pleads with him that he will change. And so the king changes the writing against the Jews, and they are set free. God changed the dark situation that they were in, the awful situation that they found themselves in. God worked and God moved through Esther, this little orphan girl, brought right into the palace. And God used her to speak to the king, and the tables were turned. God changed their darkness, their darkest hour, into light. From darkness into light. It says the Jews had light. You remember the children of Israel as they stood at the Red Sea? They had just come out of Egypt. Moses had led them right to the very edge of the water. There was no way back. The Egyptians were coming after them. Pharaoh and his armies were approaching them. And that was an awful, awful dark hour in the time of Israel when they got out of the land of Egypt. You read that in Exodus 14 and verse 10 to 14, how that God opened up a way for them, a way of escape. That was a dark hour for them, but God brought light in their darkness. I wonder tonight, as we are assembled here, I trust each one can look back to a time in our lives when God brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light and into his liberty. Can you look back, young person, older person, tonight, to the time whenever God in his mercy, God in his love, brought you out of the darkened state you were in? That was a wonderful night. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're praising God tonight, because he has brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his dear Son. God, by his Holy Spirit, revealed to us our great need of salvation. The light of the gospel shone into our hearts. Maybe it was in a gospel meeting. Maybe it was an open-air meeting. Maybe it was through a gospel tract. Maybe it was in this church. I don't know. Maybe it was in your own home, at your own bedside. But you can look back tonight, and I trust you look back tonight with joy and with gladness. You can look back to the night whenever the light of the gospel shone right into your heart. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Surely tonight for each one of us who know and love the Lord and have been singing about the goodness of God and about his salvation, surely that was the greatest night in our lives. I think each one of us would have to agree that this evening. And so we have here the light shining out of darkness for the Jews. It says there in the verse 16, the Jews had light. Their darkness, their night was turned to day. And then moving on very quickly, the text also says the Jews had light and gladness and joy. Instead of the darkness, there was light. And instead of fear and despair, there was joy and gladness. Back to chapter 3 and the verse 13. I just read part of that verse. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all the Jews. Listen to this. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. This was the king's command, King Ahasuerus. Destroy every Jew in the land, every province, every city, every Jew was to be destroyed. Surely that was a fearful time as parents looked upon their children, as they talked with each other. They said, look, this is the command, this is the order. What are we going to do? And letters were sent to every province and to every city. What fear and despair must have gripped the Jewish people whenever this news got around, as they heard of the letters and what was going on throughout the whole land. I want you to look at chapter 4 just for one moment, please. Chapter 4, we're thinking here about not only the darkness turning to light for the Jews, but their fear and their despair turning to joy and to gladness. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. And Mordecai perceived that all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes. Here we have the man of God, Mordecai. He was the uncle of Esther. And so he heard this, and he thought, well, I must get in touch with Esther. She was in the palace. Mordecai moaned, Mordecai prayed, Mordecai wept for his people. And we see at the end of this chapter, chapter 4, I want you just to think on these verses here, 13 to 16, the awful fear that gripped the people. Verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Here Mordecai was putting forth the argument, Esther, you must go in. Just because you're the king's wife doesn't mean to say that you'll escape. No, you're a Jew. You'll perish too. And so he says this to Esther. And it says in the verse 14, for if thou altogether holdeth thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then look at this little phrase here. It's a common phrase. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai, I believe he thought in his own heart, yes, Esther has come to the kingdom for such a time as this. She has been placed in the king's palace. She has got an audience with the king. And he said, Esther, who knows but you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe there's some young person here tonight and God was laying his hand upon you. Maybe more than one, maybe two or three or four. And God will say, yes, I need you in my service. I want you to perhaps be a missionary. We've heard about the offering going to mission work tonight. Thank you very much for thinking of my family there in Papua New Guinea and also Calvin Stripp and his family who are leaving shortly to head to the land of India. Good to have a missionary vision. Maybe God would speak to some young person here tonight. Maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe God will raise up young men here in this church and another of our churches to stand for him in the days to come. And then it says, and Esther bade them return to Mordecai. And so Esther, just to, for the sake of time, she went in to the king. And the king listened to her. And the king changed the decree. Esther goes before the king. The decree is completely changed by the king. And the Jews are delivered from being destroyed. The Jews had light. The Jews had gladness. And the Jews had joy. I wonder tonight, is there gladness? Is there joy in your heart? Are you a happy Christian tonight? Are you enjoying the Christian life? These Jews, they were so delighted of what was happening. They were brought out of darkness to light. And we can thank God this evening for his wonderful salvation. They were brought from fear and from being destroyed by the enemy. They were delivered. And their heart was filled with joy and with gladness. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you. We'll just turn to, we're almost finished, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you just turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. And we're at the verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you, that my joy, that's the joy of the Lord, might remain in you, might be steadfast in you, might continue in you, not up one day and down the next, but that every day you live you might experience Christ's joy in your heart. Surely we have something to be joyful about tonight. Sins forgiven, peace with God, a home in heaven. And then it says, my joy, Christ's joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. We used to sing the chorus to the boys and girls, my cup's full and running over. And I wonder tonight, would your saucer be full as well? My cup and saucer, the both are full and running over because of the joy of the Lord in your heart. Jesus spake to his father in John chapter 17, and the verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled. The joy of the Lord, my joy, the great high priestly prayer. He's praying that my joy might be fulfilled in his people. I wonder tonight, are you a joyful Christian? Do you love the Lord? Are you seeking to walk with him? Are you seeking to please him? Are you seeking to show to others what the Lord Jesus Christ means to you every day? I trust that you're a happy Christian. I trust that you're a joyful Christian. You know, we meet people sometimes and you would think they were carrying the whole world on their shoulders. I do gardening for an old lady, and I suppose maybe when I'm 80, maybe I'll be the same, but I would go into the garden and I would say, "It's not a lovely day." "Oh, Trevor, it's going to rain before night time." You know, do you ever meet people like that? "Not a lovely day." "Oh, aye, the forecast, but it's bad for tomorrow." And then when it's bad tomorrow, "Oh, we've had an awful summer. Rain, rain, rain all the time." You meet people like that? I see you smiling. I hope you're not like that. Yeah, every day we live, we should be praising the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. And so we have here, just in closing, the Jews. Verse 16, you can study these verses for yourselves. Ponder over every chapter. You'll see God's sovereignty in every chapter. Verse 17, we close with this. "And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy." There we have it again. The Jews had joy and gladness. A feast. I think Robert said there was supper afterwards. Huh? A feast. Good. And my, what a day the Jews had. What a day of rejoicing. What a day of praising the Lord. What a day of thanking God for his wonderful deliverance. Short time before, it was doom and gloom. Because God was on their side and God intervened. God used a little orphan girl to go in before the king, and the whole tables were turned. I needn't go into all the different chapters. You can do that yourselves. But it says there, "And many of the people of the land became Jews." You might say, "Well, what does that mean, Trevor?" Well, I believe because other people saw what God had done for the Jews, how he had delivered them, how he had given them light, how he had given them gladness and joy. Those around said, "My, there's something in this. I want to become a Jew too." I wonder, as others look at you and I, our lives, every day, I wonder, are there people that would say, "My, I would love to be a Christian. I would love to be a Christian. I see the way she lives. I see the joy in her heart on a Monday morning. I see the way she behaves herself. I would just love to be like that person." Our young man in workplace today, maybe at school, college, others take note of your life. Do they take note of my life and say, "My, if that's what a Christian's like, I would like to be a Christian." I believe that's what happened here in this land when the Jews turned. "For the fear of the Jews fell upon them all." I trust the Lord will bless these few remarks to our hearts this evening. And that as we live our Christian lives, that my, we'll have the joy of the Lord from day to day. May the Lord bless you in his name. Amen.